In Matthew chapter 24, verses 1, 2, and 3, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world." When shall these things be? And what are the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? I think these are questions that all of us have, and we'd certainly like to know the answer to it. In search for truth concerning the future, many have gone to astrology in order to get their answers. In America alone, the subject runs in somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200 of the 1,700 daily newspapers. I think all of us know that the future is big business. We have clairvoyants and so-called prophets that for a price will tell you their future or your future. But if the truth is to be found, it must be found in the book of truth, that is the word of God. And the Bible gives us a sure word of prophecy concerning the future and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us that no man knows the time, the day, nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But he also reminds us that we can know the seasons by observing the fulfillment of the signs laid down in his holy word. Jesus, while talking to some of the so-called religious leaders concerning a sign, said, "You consider yourselves forecasters of the weather when you see certain conditions that exist in the sky. But how is it that you cannot discern the signs of the times?" And he goes on to tell them that the signs of the first coming were just as clear and easily discerned as the weather. And the signs of his second coming are just as clear and easily discerned as the weather. I want us to look at some of the signs of the time. And I think it's good for us to refresh ourselves from time to time concerning the fact of the end of time itself. Because all of us know that we've been living in the last days since Jesus Christ came. That's what the book of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. And it also reminds us that all of the signs that are listed in the Word of God, we find that they're coming to pass in this day in which we live. And as we go through some of these, I think you will see how true that is. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, it said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And then in verse 24, "For there shall arise false prophets," or false Christ, "and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect." I think all of us know that there are individuals that have come in the name of Christ, and they have set themselves up above Christ, and we find that they have deceived many in this day in which we live. There's also the false systems of Christianity from the popes that claim infallibility and they assert dominion over the faith of Christians and undertake to forgive sins that only God can forgive. Many have been deceived by the Mohammedan delusion. Mohammed was an antichrist that set himself up above Jesus Christ. I think we, as we look around objectively at the world today, we can see the influence of Mohammed and the fact that it will be a factor in the last days before Jesus comes. He made converts by the hundreds of thousands. He is a deceiver. There's also the rise of the cults in these days in which we live. We have seen Mormonism grow by leaps and bounds. We have seen Jehovah Witness and the Christian Science grow by leaps and bounds, and they're propagating their damnable heresy. The Bible tells us that there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be commotions among nations. There will be earthquakes. There will be famines and pestilence. Now, all of these things have been happening for a long time, but we see the fact that they are increasing in intensity and frequency. Never has the world been so troubled and on the verge of annihilation as it is today. We have trouble spots all over this world as I speak this morning. We have North Korea and the threat of a nuclear holocaust. We have Russia, we have China, we have Iran, we have the Middle East. We have an arms race between the United States and Russia. And we're straining industry to keep up. In fact, we're beating the plowshares into swords and instruments of war, that we might bring greater destruction upon mankind. This is the day of the revolution and the coup d'etat. Governments are undertaking to usurp authority, if you will, over their people and to lead them in paths that are not right. And they live in jeopardy that they may be in power today and they may be in jail tomorrow or dead. Earthquakes have increased in number from the year of 1500. 115 earthquakes were recorded. This last century, almost 3,000. Were recorded. Not only are they more frequent, but they're also more devastating and more intense. There's the increase of famine and pestilence in this world in which we live. They accompany war. I can tell you that in third world countries, they have trucks to go up and down the streets early of a morning in order to pick up those that have died from starvation and malnutrition during the night. We live in a world where we see all of these things come to pass. And when he talks about wars and rumors of wars, he said, but the end is not yet. But then when you see all of these signs come together and they're all being manifested, he said, these are the beginning of sorrows, or the birth pains of the very end of time itself. The Bible tells us that the gospel will be preached as a witness unto all nations in Matthew 24, verse 14. According to some experts, and especially Billy Graham when he was in the Los Angeles crusades, he made the statement that this had been brought to pass, that every nation and every tribe had had access to the Word of God. I remind you this morning that we're living in the time of the great apostasy. In Matthew 24, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." He tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that day, that is the day of the Lord's coming back again the second time, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. I remind you this morning that we're living during a time that I think is like the Laodicean age. Starts out with the church of Ephesus, that they have left their first love. And it goes down to the seventh church, the church of Laodicea. And he says, "You're not hot and you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm," he says, "I will spew you out of my mouth." The church of the last days is one that is pictured as being rich and increased with goods, and have want of nothing, but know not that we're blind and naked and miserable. You see, it's a day of compromise. It's a day of lukewarmness. It's a day when folks are not serious about serving the Lord like they ought to be. Souls are dying, going to hell all around us, and we don't seem to care. We go to the funerals, then we move on and we forget the fact that most of those who die, die lost, and they go into hell. In the last days, there'll be mockers. They will come and say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And there are church leaders today that do not believe in a literal return of Jesus Christ. But I'm one that believes what the Bible says. And I think we're on good ground when we believe what God says. He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In a survey of ministers that were in training, 56% rejected the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 71% rejected the fact that there was life after death. 54% rejected the bodily resurrection of Christ, and 98% rejected that there would be a personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this old world in which we live. In fact, in that survey of major denominations, it showed that there was a considerable number who rejected altogether the idea of a personal God. I'm telling you that if you are a part of a church that is liberal and has ministers that teach that kind of thing, you ought to get out of that church. And if you have a church that teaches the Word of God, you ought to go and tell folks, "Come and hear the truth of the Word of God." Brethren, the Word of God will stand. Everything else will pass away, but God's Word will stand. This trend has been going on even since the days of the apostles. You remember John said, and I noted that the other Wednesday when we were studying from 1 John, but he said, "You've heard that there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world." And he said, I tell you, it's already here. And that was in John day. I can tell you that we're living in a time when the Antichrist, I believe, is literally here. He may not be revealed as of yet, but I think he's on the scene and things are coming rapidly to a conclusion. Then the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, that men's heart will fail them because of fear. Listen, we have a lot of apprehension, a lot of strife, a lot of turmoil, a lot of stress and strain. I'm telling you, it takes a toll on the human being. They tell us that over 1 million people die in America each year because of heart trouble. Man's heart cannot stand up under the stress and the strain of this old world. But when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord and you know where you're going, brethren, you get in the car and you go down the road, you don't know that you're going to get there. You go to bed at night, you don't know you're going to wake up. But it doesn't matter if you know where you're going and you're making heaven your home. And then there's the lawlessness of youth. Our Lord told us that before he turns, that lawlessness would be on the increase. And we're reminded today of the last verse of the book of Judges. And it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When authority goes out the window, anarchy and lawlessness comes in. Right and wrong are no longer absolute, but relative. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. If I think it's right, it must be right. It's all right. We live in a time of contextual morality and situation ethics. If you don't like a law, just break it. Just break it. We are rocked by civil disobedience. In fact, you watch the TV news, you can't get through a broadcast without seeing a mob somewhere that's taking the law in their own hands, and they're marching up and down the street wreaking havoc without any regard for what happens to the country as a whole. The greatest country in all the world is the country that we live in. But I'm telling you, we won't fall from without, we'll fall from within. No regard for the country. Universities cringe before lawless students. The faculty surrenders to the mob. It's kind of like the monkeys taking over the zoo. The police are called in to do what parents should have done 10 years earlier. The Bible tells us there'll be an increase in knowledge in the last days in Daniel 12, verse 4, when it tells us that knowledge shall be increased. During most of the history of the world, knowledge has come very slowly. But in the last years, we have gone from the printing press to television, radio, the internet. And there was war going on in Iraq, and we were right there. The television was showing it all. Isn't it amazing how the wide dissemination of knowledge has come, and yet we're not any smarter? If anything, we went the other way. I remember when I was growing up, you know, just kind of giving you a comparison. But when I was living with my grandparents in Lindsay, Oklahoma, we went to town in a horse-drawn wagon. We'd milk the cows. Grandma would make butter. She'd sell butter. We'd gather the eggs. They'd sell eggs. They did anything in order to make a living. And they'd give me a quarter. We'd ride to town. We were about 3 or 4 miles out of town. We'd ride to town, and they'd give me a quarter, and I thought I was rich. I went to the show, got popcorn, had money left over for a Coke. All for a quarter. But now then, they're going to the moon, going to Mars and Jupiter, but we're not any smarter. But then the final sign that I want to look at is the sign of the Jews. The destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersal of the Jewish people into all nations was foretold by Jesus Christ. In Luke 21, verse 23 and 24, but it says, "Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." The same generation that saw the sign that Jesus gave experienced the judgment that he said was coming. In 70 AD, Titus and the Roman legions came into Israel and Jerusalem, and they literally destroyed it to where the temple, not one stone, was standing on another. They killed literally hundreds of thousands of Jews. Many were put in prison. Others were scattered to the four corners of the earth. For almost 2,000 years, the sons of Abraham wandered around this earth without any country to call their own, in constant fear of persecution and death. But in Ezekiel chapter 36, I want to turn and read just a few verses. In verse 24 of chapter 36, it said, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." And then going back to verse 8 in the same chapter, "But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come." And then in chapter 38, verse 8. For after many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years, and thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." For some 2,600 years before this happened, Ezekiel showed the fact that the Jewish nation was going to be destroyed and they'd be scattered to the four corners of the earth, but that they would come back before the time that Christ returned the second time. The certainty of Israel's physical rebirth as a nation and restoration of Palestine was seen by Dr. John Cummings in 1864, almost 100 years before it came to pass. He said, "How come it to pass that as a nation they have been dispersed over every land, yet insulated, separated, and alone amidst the nations, and the prediction of their restoration are in words as definite, only yet not fulfilled? As a nation they were cut off and dispersed. It is as a nation they shall be gathered and restored." Many scoffed at the possibility of the restoration of Israel as a nation back in Palestine until May the 14th, 1948. They were recognized as a nation. The United States was a major player in that being brought to pass. Matthew 24, verse 32 and 3 said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh." He said, "So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know you it is near," or "he is near, even at the door." The most important sign in the book of Matthew and in the New Testament is the return of the children of Israel to the homeland. You see, the figure of speech, fig tree, has long been a historic symbol of national Israel. When the Jewish people, after 2,000 years of exile, under relentless persecution and death, became a nation again, on May the 14th, 1948, the fig tree put forth its first leaves. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, "Verily I say unto you," or "of a truth I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all of these things be fulfilled." Chief among all of these things that he's talking about is the rebirth of Israel. I can tell you that it's been longer than a generation, but I attribute that to the grace and the mercy of God that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I remind you that we're in the lateness of the midnight hour. And you ask, is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. He said through the angels, this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven, he's coming again in like manner as you've seen him go. I'm here to tell you it won't be long. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. But I do look at this book, and I'm telling you it is the infallible, inerrant word of God. And what it says, you can build on it. He's coming. He's coming. Praise God, he's coming again, and he's coming for the church. A church that's dressed in white. A church that is pure. I'm telling you, that's not every church. God help us to preach the truth, live the truth, teach the truth by the way we live. Will you bow with me?